grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Good Monday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We're excited to be with you for the next 3 hours as we come out of another weekend with a lot of anticipation of what will happen this fall. Heather, the waiting game continues with college football, with the sports world. Pro sports, team sports in America are getting set to start back up here in the next couple of weeks. So we'll talk about all of that this afternoon, provide some updates, and kind of talk it forward. That's part of the goal here on Sports 180 today.
Yeah, we're just moving forward right along, and we'll see what happens, and we'll see what we have to talk about here in a couple of months. But hey, I told you, with the MLS schedule, I was going to watch some soccer, and I saw DC United come back. Now, I think they just tied, and that ended the game with Toronto, but I was watching, and the announcers very excited that DC, you know, put up a fight, because apparently they had really gotten down.
So you checked it out, huh?
I did, yeah. TV's still on, so this is like the most TV I've watched in like 3 days combined, so this is cool.
Yeah, DC and Toronto, they finished with a 2-2 draw. So you have a couple more matches tonight. Houston, your Dynamo, will take on LAFC. And then at 10:30 tonight, Portland against LA. So we get more soccer tonight in the MLS. You have soccer internationally that's going on. We have some soccer news that's a big deal with the Champions League. So we'll get to that and American football all as we take a look around the sports world.
Biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
Heather, since you and I last were on the air together on Friday, the Pac-12 made it official that it's looking at non-conference only for this upcoming fall, without a guarantee that everything's going to take place, but they're going non-conference with their scheduling. Joining the Big Ten, and questions remain with the ACC, SEC, and the Big 12. And then, of course, the other conferences in the Group of Five level are directly connected. And this morning, the Patriot League announced that it is canceling fall sports. That does not include winter sports right now, but fall sports are being canceled for the fall.
Yep.
So add that to the list of leagues that the Patriot League to the list of leagues that have decided, yeah, September, it's not happening.
Yeah, and so there's just going to be a domino effect for different programs that are affected, and we'll see what kind of impact financially these leagues are going to have, because they're still going to have to honor scholarships and salaries, which is a huge part of their budget, but being able to cut out travel expenses, we'll see what the viability financially looks like for some of these leagues that are canceling their fall sports.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they're canceling for financial reasons. I think it's due to COVID.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying because they're not going to play, they are going to end up saving some money, but they're also not going to be bringing in any football money. So it'll be interesting to see, even from that perspective, what kind of effect that has on those other leagues.
So we will monitor this afternoon if anything else happens with the conferences around college athletics. The commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, was on ESPN Radio on Saturday morning, part of the SEC Network as well. Marty and McGee, the show with Ryan McGee and Marty Smith, and Greg Sankey essentially sent out a warning to everybody saying, look, we are running out of time here, and we are not headed in a good direction. We need things to turn around. The SEC put out a post on social media with all 14 coaches in the SEC wearing their school-colored masks, saying, wear a mask, help us get football this fall.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. I mean, there's... Again, numbers are going up in different areas, and you have to really look at the data to see what's going on. And, you know, fall sports, or I guess college sports right now, are the most in question, because you've got the MLS that's playing in Florida and there's pseudo bubble. You've got the NBA that's starting back up very soon. MLB is starting back up sooner. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I would say that college sports has to just tread extremely lightly right now because there's a lot of liability on them, I think more so than what the professional leagues have.
We'll get back to the super fun topics coming up here in a moment. But actual sports did take place this weekend. You mentioned soccer. Soccer's going on in the U.S. and around the country. Colin Morikawa wins the golf event this past weekend with the PGA Tour as the Memorial will take place later this week. And Morikawa won in a playoff after a few weeks ago losing in a playoff. So maybe his recent playoff experience helped him get the win yesterday.
Yeah, edging out my pick, Justin Thomas. So I was that close and got beat out.
Yeah.
But yeah, congrats to Colin Morikawa. I don't know what
He's really good. He's got some talent.
Yeah, I don't know what CBS was doing, but there was a lot of scuttle online that when it went to the playoff, it was not televised. You actually had to go and then watch it on stream because they had run out of time. And I'm like, run out of time for what? Like, were they preempting something? I mean, you know, I just, there's no other sports going on and you can't have your finish on national television. That falls a little short, I would imagine.
Cole Custer got the win at Kentucky. So first cup race that he has won. Congratulations as they're getting ready for the All-Star race at Bristol.
All right. All-Star racing. I think that's going to be so fun. And I know you've talked about it. Ron Morton and those guys seem really excited on the lead lap about the All-Star race. It's just something totally different and new. And I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to add like a new little wrinkle to already a super fun event, even though fans can't participate.
And then this was really exciting yesterday. The second semifinal game in the basketball tournament, Sideline Cancer won on a walk-off three as both teams needed a basket to win. Joe Johnson maybe got fouled, went to the basket. Shot was no good, came back on the other side, and Sideline Cancer knocked off Overseas Elite, the team that was the favorite probably to win. So it'll be the Marquette alumni team of Golden Eagles versus Sideline Cancer tomorrow in the basketball tournament. It's been fun. It's not NBA or college basketball, but it's a bunch of former college players that you're going to recognize that were playing yesterday. Devin Balkman was on the Overseas Elite team, so you hate to see his team go down, but it was really fun to see the Elam ending. So when I said both teams needed a basket to win, it's the Elam ending where you play to a number, and Sideline Cancer won on a walk-off three.
Yeah, walk-off three and no replay to see if they got the shot off in time because there
yeah,
is
you don't
no
need
time.
It.
Yeah. So if you like watching games without that five-minute delay at the end to see who actually won, then Elam ending basketball tournament, you should be watching.
Yeah, and I should clarify, full transparency, I'm a bit biased toward the Elam ending, but that's because I like entertainment and fun, and so that's why.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you clarified that, yeah.
Yeah, especially in sports. With soccer, Man City received big news. It's essentially been reinstated. It won its appeal. Man City, they will be eligible next year for the Champions League as they had been banned for 2 years from European competitions. So the ruling came earlier today from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Manchester City back eligible to compete next year for the Champions League.
Have we checked everybody's bank accounts to see if there was any money that got exchanged to get this reinstatement done?
That kind of stuff doesn't happen.
Oh, there's no nefarious action or bribery in soccer. That's right, I forgot. Very upstanding.
Yeah, or Earth. You have the SEC AD meeting today as well. So to kind of come back to the college football world, this is a meeting that was already scheduled, but they are meeting down in Birmingham today. So the SEC trying to figure out what's next with, of course, a lot of things moving around in college football over the last few days.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, it's definitely college football is the first priority, but you also have other sports that are trying to get ramped back up and get ready for competition. I know the volleyball season starts, you know, supposedly in like a month or 5 weeks. So I'm sure they would like to know what is going on, as well as girls soccer and some other things that are going to happen this fall around the SEC or not happen. And just to try and get some sort of picture on that. We'll see what comes out of it. But, I mean, do you think any decisions will be made in today's meeting, or is this just kind of a let's catch everybody up to date with what's going on and maybe some ideas?
I'd be surprised if we get some kind of announcement today. But the focus, I'm sure, is football, right?
Yeah.
Do you see any other sports happening if football's not happening? I don't.
No, I don't. But they, what I'm saying is they need to just go ahead and, I guess, delay the season then, because volleyball and some other stuff start before football. I know you've got to make a decision about football, but you, to me, the timeline, you've also got to address something that's on the back burner but still needs to be addressed for their livelihoods.
Yeah, they could go ahead and delay everything. You're right. The ACC has delayed start to September 1st. So maybe something like that happens in terms of a final determination. That's what we're probably not going to get. But also, who knows? Because nobody, including, well, maybe the Big Ten itself, but nobody else expected any kind of announcement on Thursday that the Big Ten's going conference only. And then it happened. Pac-12 did it. So we do know the wheels are in motion. And then speaking of the ACC, how about Kara Lawson being hired over the weekend as the head coach of Duke's women's basketball team after spending this past, I guess, current NBA season as an assistant with the Boston Celtics?
I'm really anxious to see how this plays out. I know that Kara Lawson's name was getting kicked around a lot when Tennessee had moved on from Holly Warlick and before they had hired Kelly Harper. So one of my things was, oh my gosh, she has no experience. I mean, she was still on television at the time that her name was being linked to the Tennessee job. And then she ended up going and being a bench coach with the Celtics. So anything can happen, it sounds like, in basketball pretty fast. But this is a pretty prestigious job, and I'm anxious to see what she does there.
Yeah, so good for Kara Lawson. And you're right, she doesn't have any experience as a head coach, but that's not all that uncommon in the sport of basketball. And she has being hired away from the Boston Celtics, a pretty good organization that hired her to be an assistant coach. And, of course, there will be the comparisons, right, just along the way, Kelly Harper and Kara Lawson, how they do with the two schools. That's going to be a constant.
Yeah, for sure. That is definitely going to be something that is, I mean, it's already being brought up as different people had tweeted out, why couldn't we get her at Tennessee? And now she's being hired at Duke. See, I told you. And you're like, well, at that time, she was still on television and not even coaching. So good luck to her as a former Lady Vol. I mean, I want her to do her best and see what that brings, and then see what the future holds.
Yeah, and something I honestly just don't know. I don't know what Kara's level of interest was in the Tennessee job, but seeing her a year later take the Duke job, we do know that she had interest in being a head coach in women's basketball.
And maybe the feedback was, you've got to get some coaching experience before somebody like us could hire you. Maybe she talked to people behind closed doors, and that was the feedback she got, so she ended up going to Boston. I don't know. That is all speculation, but
yeah, I doubt. I would doubt, considering how quick. I mean, she hasn't even been in coaching for a year. Not that much experience.
Oh, I know, but maybe that's what I'm saying. Like, she just had to go get some experience before she could. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. This is a crazy world. I mean, I wish I could walk into coaching and get the Duke job. I mean, that's pretty impressive. She's really smart basketball player. We'll see what happens coaching.
No doubt. The most successful example of walking straight into being a head coach with no experience would be Steve Kerr. He has 3 NBA titles with the Golden State Warriors, had never coached, walked in, and they won immediately. And that was before Kevin Durant showed up. So good luck to Kara Lawson. And she's somebody that was really respected at ESPN and with the Celtics the last year that she's been there. That's a look around the sports world. We will hear from Greg Sankey what he said, his message that he was very direct with to SEC fans over the weekend, talking about football this fall and his level of concern whether it's going to happen. We're going to hear it. We're going to break it all down this afternoon, and you can join us at 656-9900 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the sports animal.
It's We're Social. Follow, connect, and rub online elbows with the show on Facebook and Twitter at Sports 180. Now back to Josh and Heather.
This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us on this Monday afternoon. Download the WNML app. You can listen on the go anytime. One other news item. The Redskins name and logo is officially being retired. Didn't mention that in the last segment, but that's pretty big news in the NFL today, as a reporter from the Washington Post is going to join us at 1:30 to discuss what could be next, what's going to happen to try to find a new name. But Scott Allen from the Washington Post at 1:30, as the name and logo will go away, it looks like, immediately in Washington.
Yeah, no, and this is just so crazy because obviously it's been the Washington Redskins my whole life, and so just trying to refer to all these teams, at least like in the Raiders case or the Chargers case, even though they've moved cities, they have retained their nickname, and now this is the reverse. Washington staying in their city but changing the nickname. And so it's just getting used to all the new pieces and names and cities and stadiums and all that in the NFL. So a lot of change, but you know, if you're one of those people that really did think that this should happen, then I think this is a moment to be celebrated. I think it's I hate it for the longtime Redskins fans that never meant anything disrespectful by the name. You know, they just liked their team, liked their name, and now they're going to have to get used to something new and transitioning to something new. So I think there were a lot of people out there that never thought of it as something offensive, and they feel like they're losing a piece of what they've, you know, held on to for a long time today. But on the other side of it, that you got to realize there's two sides of that coin, and there are people that were definitely offended by it, and this is a victory for them.
Right. Also, you had a bunch of investors that wanted it changed, and that's why it's happening.
Yeah, money talks. This is cancel culture. Mm-hmm. If people don't like what you say, they're going to go to your boss, and they're going to say, hey, look what they're doing on Twitter. Look what they're doing. And they're going to try and get you fired make change. We've seen it in other places, and there's professional organizations out there that's what they do for a living, is they try to get things changed that they find aren't within, I guess, the realms of acceptable culture norms at this point in time.
Yeah, I don't know if Fred Smith's in that organization, but he's, you know, FedEx. When FedEx came in and said, hey, we need to make a change here, that's a big part of it. There's a reason in the statement from Washington's organization today, which, by the way, still had the logo and Redskins' name on the letterhead, but there's a reason that multiple times it talked about inspiring our investors, because there's a lot of money at stake for Daniel Snyder.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the only reason it changed, is because corporate mm-hmm. partnerships were going to go away. And they noticed that, and they wanted to change it. I don't think it's because they woke up today and realized, you know what, maybe this name really is offensive and we should change
right.
it. That's not the reality.
Right. Yeah. When you see the wording inspire investors, that's also appease investors could be part of the wording as well. The only way I think to appease SEC football fans is to have football this fall. But is it going to happen? Nobody knows. Greg Sankey doesn't know if it's going to happen either. Before we hear from him, Cole Kubelik tweeted this out a moment ago from the SEC Network. He said his guess at the two schedule formats being discussed today, while there will not be a decision, he thinks, one, they'll talk about a totally revamped 10-game SEC schedule that will end mid-November, or number two, a 10-game SEC schedule to maintain current conference opponents scheduled and add future cross-division opponents like Tennessee playing Ole Miss and LSU the next 2 years. Just add that to the schedule as it is. So that, or just have a blank schedule and put a fresh new 10-game conference schedule. But 10 games either way, Cole believes, is the two formats being discussed. And then, of course, there's the topic, will we play football this fall? I'm sure that's going to come up. What do we need to do to make it happen? Greg Sankey on Marty and McGee on Saturday was asked, what is your level of concern regarding football happening this fall?
High to very high. I look at the numbers every day, and the important issue is not just numbers or looking at numbers. It is trying to understand and comprehend, and that's where literally you want experts, you know, moving you away from the scroll or the titles at the bottom of the TV screen or the interviews of this expert or that, and find people out of the public domain who are highly intelligent, highly educated, highly skilled at helping guide information. And we put a medical advisory group together in early April with the question of what do we have to do to get back to activity? And they've been a big part of the conversation. But the direct reality is not good. And the notion that we've politicized medical guidance of distancing and breathing masks and hand sanitization, you know, ventilation and being outside, being careful where you are in buildings. I mean, there's some very clear advice about you can't mitigate and eliminate every risk, but how do you minimize the risk? And so I would say to everybody listening, you know, you watch Marty when he's sitting in a lawn chair outside a NASCAR facility because he's not in the inner bubble from time to time, and he's got himself protected. And I go to Starbucks and wherever, and I've got a mask on. We have to heed that. We are running out of time to correct and get things right. And as a society, we owe it to each other, in my view, to be as healthy as we can be.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on Marty and McGee on Saturday. We are running out of time is the message from the commissioner, and said that his level of concern right now, and right now is July 13th, so a decision doesn't have to be made today, but right now his answer is that his level of concern is high to very high.
Yeah, and you are closer to the X date of when you do have to make a decision. I mean, you know, sure. You don't have the luxury. It's not June 13th. It's not May 13th, which is something that we were continuing to say, and I know I've said it 100 times, like, hey, listen, we don't have to make a decision right now. You don't have to make a decision right now. Well, we steadily are approaching the time when decisions hard and fast do have to be made. I know, you know, even like the Knox County School Board and the school board across the state of Tennessee is looking at trying to make a decision this week, you know, on whether they're going back to school or not, the kids. So, I mean, there's a lot of different facets of trying to plan for the fall that are very much being considered, and everybody's trying to do their due diligence, but you're getting more and more into the territory. It's like the red zone. You're now in the red zone. You don't have to score on the next play, but you better be thinking within the next couple of plays, we got to get in the end zone here. And what are we going to do that? So, I mean,
with the analogy, would you be on offense or defense in this situation? Are you trying to keep them out of the end? Are you trying to keep COVID out of the end zone? Or are you trying to get in the end zone versus COVID? How's it go?
I like to be offensive. Like, I mean, if I flip that coin, I'm taking the ball, man. I'm charging down the field. So no, COVID is trying to keep us from getting into the end zone. We're going to get into the end zone. That's the way I use the analogy.
What do you think, have you noticed anything from a reaction, as it relates to a reaction from fans? What do you think the reaction will be from SEC fans, college football fans, people in general, I guess, hearing that from the commissioner of the SEC?
I think, you know, there's two sides. I really do think, I mean, Commissioner Sankey, he said it right there, you know, everything's been politicized now to this point. So people are like dug in on how they're going to handle everything moving forward. That's what I believe. There's probably some people in the middle that will wear a mask sometimes, won't wear a mask. Everybody should be just washing their hands just for good hygiene, period. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, as far as the masks go, people are either going to wear them or they're just not. Or they're going to have to wear one when you go into a building that says you can't come in unless you wear a mask. Which is like, you know, Costco, they've been that way the whole time and everybody's compliant and there's no viral videos in Knoxville that I know of. So that's good. I don't know what's going to happen. I think the people that still believe that it's not serious.
I think you and I are probably alike. Yeah. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on people's decisions of what they're going to do, how they're going to act in public.
Yeah. So as far as like eliciting emotions from them, like are some people, I would imagine the people that have been very buttoned up and have been following all the CDC guidelines, like to a T, they're going to be upset that other people haven't and feel like their football season is in jeopardy and not because of anything they did. You know what I mean? So I could imagine there would be an emotion on that side, but as far as like changing behavior and stuff, I just feel like you're so far down the road. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I know that I'm on repeat at this point, but it still is incredible to me the difference in the level of optimism and planning now versus a month ago. Today is actually supposed to be the start date of the required workouts that the NCAA approved a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That period is supposed to start today. And instead, you have a school like Maryland that's shutting down activities. And other schools have made some decisions. And different schools are going to make different decisions, by the way. But just in terms of a month ago, 5 weeks ago, you had athletes showing back up on campus, and the excitement was really high. And here we are today with the commissioner of the SEC admitting publicly that he has a very high level of concern about football or sports being able to take place this fall. And the Patriot League announcing today, not going to happen. Junior College Association already announcing not happening this fall. So the we've had a roller coaster in conversation, and right now we're not heading in the right direction. I guess another point to it could be, though, well, there's always a chance for a reversal, and I think we're all hoping for that, a reversal to the good side.
Yeah, and who knows? I have no idea how everything goes, and you see a lot of stuff, a lot of problems that other people are having with testing and labs being overwhelmed and not getting results back, and it just, I don't know how you sift through all the bad news and figure things out, but it's definitely, you're not feeling great today, that's for sure.
All right, good stuff. We'll continue here on Sports 180. Heather Harrington's here. I'm Josh Ward. There's good news for a Georgia football player. Could that mean good news for a Tennessee football player? We'll tell you about that news coming up as Sam Foreman has a Midday Sports Minute for you here. I'm Josh Ward alongside Heather Harrington. 656-9900 to join us on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is Vault for Life, Troy Fleming. We're counting it down. It's just
54 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
On Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Maybe this will get you excited. 28 minutes ago, Heather, Florida State posted a video showing football players working out. Coaches have face shields on, and the players in the video appear to have their masks on. And Florida State's caption says, officially back together. Does that get you fired up about the chances of football happening this fall?
Sure. I mean, you know, you got to take the positives and the negatives. Yeah. I mean, I think it has no bearing, in all honesty.
Right.
So it's, you know, whatever. But yeah. Man, you know what I wish I would have done? I wish I would have had the creativity to come up with some of these masks and, you know, the ability to put them together. People are raking in money right now. That's what I love about America. You're always going to find somebody that can capitalize on the current situation and bring you something that is useful, valuable, looks good, make it for a good price, and they make some money. So these face shields that you can, like, order, they're pretty incredible.
Yeah, as long as you don't play college sports, you have a great opportunity to do so, right?
Oh, are you talking about being paid? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just having a little fun on a Monday. JT Daniels having a better Monday as the quarterback transfer from USC, now at Georgia, tweeted out that he has received his waiver request. It's been approved by the NCAA, and he will be eligible to play football this fall. He said on Twitter, I will not comment on the waiver or transfer, but look forward to a great 2020 season with my teammates. Of course, there is the question, will they play? We remain hopeful and optimistic that it can happen. But anyway, JT Daniels now eligible to compete for the starting job at Georgia with Jamie Newman. That could be quite the battle this fall.
Well, I thought Jamie Newman was supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. You think JT Daniels can just come in and compete with him coming off an injury? I would say that sarcastically because so many people just anointed Jamie Newman as, oh my gosh, best transfer, you know, of the year. This could be the catalyst that helps put Georgia over the top.
And, the thing is that Jamie Newman, let's say that he doesn't win the job. That doesn't make it wrong that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. Jalen Hurts didn't win the job 2 years ago at Alabama. He was still probably the second best quarterback in the league.
Well,
it's just that Tua was the best.
Yeah.
So but could he lose the job? Yeah, sure. To me, it's just a win for Georgia. Again, this is under the assumption that football takes place. But now this means Georgia has two of the most talented quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens and see which way this goes. But I have always been under the impression that Jamie Newman was a little overrated. Now, I think JT Daniels is a different story. I think this is great news that he can come in and start competing for a job. And I wouldn't doubt that he could win that job if he's 100% healthy and ready to go. So I think he's definitely a difference maker. I haven't been
that
sold.
Why would Newman be overrated but not Daniels?
I just look at it recruiting-wise, and I saw what Jamie Newman did, but I've listened to a lot of different people, too, about his biggest games. When you go and break it down, it was against the lesser competition, and whenever you look at his numbers as a whole, they're impressive on the surface, but when you go game by game, they are less impressive against the bigger, beefier teams on the schedule. So just, you know, kind of taking some other people's word for it that has seen him play more. And I just felt like it's not always a slam dunk when people transfer. I mean, you had Kelly Bryant transfer, and he was supposed to help Missouri maybe be like a dark horse contender in the East, and that just didn't work out, you know, and then he ended up getting hurt. I don't know. I just feel like sometimes we put so much stock into these transfers, and they just get a little overhyped in the process. I mean, it was good that Georgia got him. Excuse me. It was good that Georgia got Jamie Newman, because he's not terrible. I just thought for how much hype he was getting in the offseason this year, I thought that was a little premature.
Now, there's another transfer that Tennessee fans are probably going to think of. Wait a minute. JT Daniels received his waiver to play right away already? What about Cade Mays? Cade Mays obviously transferred. Maybe it's not obvious. He did transfer at the beginning of the semester. It was just a few months ago that JT Daniels decided to head to Georgia. But I don't know the exact timing with the waiver requests. This doesn't change anything from a negative standpoint. If anything, it should add to the optimism that Cade Mays will be eligible to play. That's totally my anticipation. I think Cade will ultimately be granted eligibility to play for Tennessee this fall.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I know stranger things have happened, and you've seen high-profile quarterbacks get the green light and then other position players not for whatever reason, or it goes down to like the last week. I don't know if Tennessee waits till the last minute to like send in this eligibility paperwork, but man, I feel like the Tennessee players are always like butting up next to the season. Are they going to play or aren't they? And then finally, you get the waiver notice, and it's usually good. I mean, usually good news for Tennessee.
Well, it's good news with Aubrey Solomon.
Yeah.
Tennessee didn't receive the news it wanted to in basketball immediately with Urosh Placid. It was mid-season eligibility. They haven't had that many. It's just, you know, Solomon was a guy from Michigan, big name. So there was great anticipation that he would be eligible, and it took a while, but that also just, it had a bunch of mystery around it. I mean, his mom, in the interview that she did with David Ubben with The Athletic, you know, didn't really know much to say about what was going on. That was with her own son.
Yeah, she was like, I really don't know what they're looking at when they're making these determinations. And then I think, you know, David maybe tried to go a little deeper and get some clarification. And didn't she just not want to answer some of the questions, too? Like, she's like, I'm not really going to tell you what I discussed with the NCAA. And so I think there's just a whole shroud of kind of secrecy, and that's what we have always been critical of, is that you just don't know why some waivers are being granted and why some aren't. It has seemed, the one thing that I have noticed, and I don't know if this situation, I don't have the ins and outs of this one, but if you hire an attorney, I feel like your probability of getting your waiver granted is higher than if you go at it alone and just rely on the school and yourself to get your waiver granted. Have you kind of noticed that?
Oh yeah, without question. You're much better off having representation.
Yeah.
You know, of course, your compliance office and I think Tennessee's people are really well regarded. That's going to matter too, the work that they do behind the scenes to give you the best chance of being eligible.
Do you think this year you're also just going to see an overwhelming waiver approval because of just everything that is going on right now? The fact that this was kind of supposed to be talked about this year, you know, just doing the one transfer, kind of get out of jail free card. And since that got put on the back burner because of COVID-19, do you think they're just going to kind of wave a lot of these transfers through?
I think they're probably going to be more open to players transferring. I mean, they're getting closer to the one-time allowance, I think, anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if a year from now that occurs. In Cade May's case, he's transferring back close to home, so it would seem close to a slam dunk. again, I know how it works with the NCAA. You never know, and I don't know, but that would be my anticipation. Quick clarification on the Aubrey Solomon story with his mother when she talked to David Ubben. She didn't talk to the NCAA. That was part of it. She didn't know that was kind of the point, was she didn't know what was going on. One of her quotes was, "Nobody called me, nobody asked for anything, nothing. So your guess is as good as mine. My son's a grown man now. He'll handle grown man business, but there's truth to that. The parents don't have a seat at the table. I wanted a seat, but I didn't know who to talk to advocate for my son."
Okay, good. I'm glad you cleared that up, because that's different than how I had laid it out. I just knew that there was something that had come from her that, you know, there was a level of secrecy there that was very unclear. So thank you for clarifying that.
We will come back here and hit the face-off. Sam Foreman sets us up there next. We're with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Turn us up and embarrass the Alabama fan that sits in the next cubicle.
This is 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app. You can listen on the go anytime. Check us out on Apple Podcasts as well. We'll talk to Scott Allen from the Washington Post coming up at 1:30 and get some more information on what's gone on behind the scenes for the name change, as the Washington Bullets changed names years ago to the Wizards. I guess it was, 25 years ago or so they made the decision to change that name. Now you have the Redskins name that will change to a name to be determined, but how that's gone about and what could be coming next to pay attention to for NFL fans in Washington. But that became official earlier today, that Washington will have a name and logo change with the organization. So that's coming up 45 minutes from now. We'll talk more college football plans for the fall. Very interesting, is that a nice way to say it, story out of Memphis. And sports happened this weekend. It's just now we're waiting on the sports that everybody really gets into. Football, NBA, Major League Baseball over the next few weeks.
Yeah, because we still have not taken any calls about the MLS's back tournament or golf, which is much my beloved sport of choice over these summer months.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's looking at football. There's a lot of people looking at baseball and some looking at NBA. So we'll see how those two return at the end of the month. But everybody's eyes around us is on football.
Do you see there was some kind of DJ event gathering for some of the NBA players, and one player went? It was Dwight Howard. He was there, and he went like Instagram Live. Nobody was there. I mean, you had some workers that were at the bar and serving him a drink. So he just said, "Hey, what should I order?" And, you know, people are replying, and one person asks, "Why don't you have a mask on?" And he says, "Because nobody is here." And that was very literal. There was
nobody.
No one
yeah.
there. And Anthony Davis was asked about it, I guess this morning maybe, and said, "Yeah, had no idea that it was going on." So apparently they didn't do a very good job of communicating to some of the players. But there's shirtless Dwight Howard just walking around at this
yes.
party all by himself.
All right. Well, if you've
quite
ever,
a time down there.
If you've ever needed a reality check on how uncool you can be at any given time, I mean, uncool moments can happen to even the coolest of people. I'm sure that was one where you were like, "Oh, this is why I always come late to these things, so I can scope it out and then leave." I think you did that.
Yeah, maybe
didn't
that was
you?
Part of the plan for everybody else.
Didn't you go to a virtual happy hour thing and you were there for about 10 minutes and you were like, "Okay, is anybody else going to show up?"
Yeah. I was looking around and it was just me there. Yeah.
So, you know, stranger things have happened, but you would think that everybody would have, like,
not my first time being all by myself at a social gathering though. So that, in that place, I was very comfortable.
So you were very prepared for it after middle yeah. school dances, right? Golly, those used to be the most awkward.
Good old middle school. Is this prom night again? What are we doing here on this this happy hour afternoon? All right, let's hit today's face-off.
You want some? Come get some.
Head-to-head.
Toe-to-toe.
Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
All righty, Sam, what do you have for us this afternoon?
All right, first up today, what is your best nickname suggestion for Washington to replace the Redskins' nickname with?
So I've looked at, I guess, maybe all the names that are being considered or have a strong possibility. I don't know that I love any of them. You're sticking with the same start. I do like Red Tails, so I would go with Red Tails. I think you can play off what your team colors have been as well, so Red Tails would be my answer.
I guess my suggestion of stealing Dewey Warren's nickname and calling them the Swamp Rats is just not catching on, so I'm very disappointed with that. I feel like it's...
The Swamp Rats.
Yeah, I feel like it's very appropriate for a Washington, D.C.-based team. Just saying. So I'm going to go with Warriors. I like Washington Warriors. I think that's cool, and I hope they move forward with it.
Okay, next up, what does your gut say right now? Will the SEC play non-conference games this fall?
I would say, despite having a lovely lunch of chicken salad from Food City, hey, shout out to them. My gut's not telling me anything good about football coming up this fall. I guess it's maybe a case of the Mondays, but I would say that, yes, all the Power 5 leagues are going to go to conference-only schedules.
Yeah, that's what my gut says as well. We'll talk about what Charlotte's AD said yesterday on the radio. It's noteworthy, but also you have to really listen to all that he had to say about it. And I don't think it's going to happen. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of them getting into the season and still trying to work something out with some of those SEC-ACC games. But as a conference playing non-conference games, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Speaking of the Power 5, will only Power 5 teams play sports this fall?
I'll say no, but the Patriot League is not going to be the last conference to say we're out this fall. And that's not really that bold of a take considering the Power 5 is even in jeopardy. But I think some will try to make it work and at least try to play some kind of football this upcoming fall to go ahead and get it in. But there will be more to say no.
I'm even anxious to see if the non-Power 5 leagues, if some of those schools, maybe in way less affected areas than some of the hot spots right now, if they try to break off on their own and just put a schedule together to try and keep playing, whether it's volleyball, soccer, football, for sure. So I'm anxious to see if even you go down to a smaller level and the individual schools kind of take the control and take the bull by the horns.
It's a big happy birthday, Sports 180 style, to Harrison Ford, who turned 78 today. What's the top role Ford has ever played?
This is hard. I think the most prestigious is going to be Indiana Jones. And that's what everybody is going to defer to. But Harrison Ford, I don't know. I'll say Indiana Jones is his most iconic.
Well, it's a huge one. I'm going to go Han Solo, though. I'm gonna go with Han Solo as my choice. Best character. I was late to the Star Wars realm, but now I'm in it, and Jesse Smithy deserves the most credit for getting me there. I will also say shout out to his character of President James Marshall. Get off my plane. Very emphatic, direct, to the point. Maybe an underrated movie president would be Harrison Ford.
Last one for today. Today would have been day one of SEC Media Days 2020. What's your favorite part of Media Days?
Yeah, day one's a tough one to miss, too. You get the complimentary food that's rolled out in the middle of the day, plus the service you get at the end of the night with food and drinks that are made available to the media. I would just say it's the madness to get you pretty much nowhere. The amount of running to get no job done, if a coach comes out and the overreaction to a coach chasing him, especially if we're talking about at the Winfrey. So it's just the overreaction to pretty much everything.
To me, it was just the energy and the buzz of being on Radio Row and seeing the biggest names come down, getting interviews with different people that were just making their way through Radio Row. That is just the absolute, I think, best part. Because, I mean, somebody just literally on live radio sits down and bam, you're off and interviewing. It's just the coolest part.
All right, it was a tough one this week, and I'm probably going to get myself in more trouble than anything for how I'm going to award the winner of this. Not a huge Star Wars fan. I'm an Indiana Jones fan.
Ooh.
Heather gets the win.
Ooh. Okay. I didn't even know that.
Sam Foreman, hater of Star Wars.
Send the hate mail towards me. It's all right.
Yeah. I'm not a Star Wars person either. I've seen the originals, and then I watched the one with Jar Jar, and that's it. Then I'm out. It's fine. People can have their Star Wars. I'll have my Harry Potter, and we'll just coexist.
It's fine. So you haven't seen the most recent ones?
No.
Okay.
No.
Star Wars is okay. Just if you're going to make me pick one, I'm going to go Indiana Jones. I don't know why.
That's fine. I mean, the Indiana Jones series is quite successful, so I don't think there's anything wrong with choosing that one over Star Wars. I think that's fine. I do feel good about my kind of under-the-radar Air Force One. Don't forget about his role, as President Marshall mentioned. Also, I didn't answer as seriously as maybe I should have, so I think you deserve the media days part. This was a week that it did feel like football was right around the corner, which is a stark contrast to the conversation we're currently having. And also, we just have a great guest lineup for our shows during the week, and that was always a lot of fun to be able to have people join us in person on Radio Row, whether we're talking about coaches, players, or fellow media members from around the country that are all in one spot, and we can sit down and we can talk about actual football, and that I very much miss this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the camaraderie between some of the media personalities. And y'all, I never got to experience this when I went, the only one time I went, but the karaoke, wasn't there always a karaoke night too for media members?
Yeah, there's
members?
A big karaoke that that Barrett Salee heads up, and it gets pretty aggressive.
We'll have to ask him about that later this week, but I'm sure he is definitely missing it.
Yeah. So it's a big week typically, and sometimes you can make a big deal out of it, but compare it to this year. Assuming we have media days in the future, I think there will be an even greater appreciation for what that week is, because it is just a week full of football. And typically in the summer, you know, at this time of year, we're still lacking for a lot of sports conversation. Not like currently in terms of events that are happening right now. It's a lot of the build up to what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But you get to this week and it's like, football, it's not here yet. But in 3 weeks, they hit the field and they start practicing and we break down rosters and all that stuff. And it's just, you know, we're missing that this week and very much hoping that we can get back to it in a few weeks. We'll get back to the conversation. What Charlotte's AD said about that Tennessee game on September 5th. That when we come back to begin hour number 2, 656-9900, if you would like to join us. With Heather Harrington, Sam Foreman, I'm Josh Ward. This is FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.